Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fifth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day 9 and the final full 24 hours of racing at TPR number 5. The cutoff point for general classification isn't until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. But for those riders who still have a chance of reaching San Sebastian for the finishers party this evening, the race is on. Two riders who did make it in time are Tobias Johansson, cap 114, and Cyril Thibaut, cap 28, who both rode into the finish late last night to complete the top 10 at this year's TPR, followed by several more riders who arrived throughout the night. It's morning now though, and Control Team 2 are still out on the route. At around 8 a.m, they catch up with Steve Hayes, cap 108.
Did you ride all the way through the night?
Yeah, I had 2 10-minute naps. One just at the bottom of this hill, I just sat in my bivvy bag and had 10-minute shut-eye. And I had one last night when I stopped for a sandwich. So yeah, two kips. I wanted to get to the end of the parkour by 9 o'clock. I'm not going to do that, but I've left myself sort of 10 hours to do the last two sections, which might be enough. Get the old eye of the tiger, finish straight, all white line fever. I've seen so many deer the last 36 hours. So many. I've had stags walking in front of me. I've had herds, they called herds, schools. I don't know what they are, but loads of them.
Just as the team say goodbye to Steve, another rider appears over the hill and stops to speak. Pierre Miremont, cap 93.
How are you doing?
I'm good. This is the place I live, so I know this road. And I'm good. Tired, but it's okay. I will take a coffee and then we'll be okay.
How does it feel to be in your home territory on the race?
It's, how to say, reassurant, safe.
It feels safe.
I feel safe, yeah. Yeah.
I'm familiar.
But I'm too tired to enjoy.
What are you thinking about now as the finish line approaches?
Now I think I will eat and a little rest, and I hope to finish before midnight.
Yeah, we want to welcome you in at the finish party.
What time is the party?
7:30 this evening. Finishes at midnight.
Midnight, okay. I will try to be here.
All right, good luck. Ride safe.
Hannah and the team begin to make their own journey west towards San Sebastian. On the Col de Soudé, they run into Christian Bernard, cap 24. He's desperate to reach the finish line in time to crack open a beer with the rest of the riders.
How are you?
I'm tired. Yeah. Quite tired. I had to take a little nap before.
What time was that?
It was before the sun goes up, went up. But yeah, I think it's always the worst time. So, yeah.
That hour or so of dark before the dawn is when you get sleepiest, isn't it? And yeah. Then as soon as the sun comes up...
It helps, yeah. Sun helps. Yeah, exactly. I hope I get it now to the party.
Do you have an estimate for when you'll arrive, or are you just taking it step by step and seeing when you get there?
I will see when I get there. I have to manage my power. And but I really want that beer.
Yeah.
I really want that beer at the party.
Another rider taking on the Col de Soudé is Wolfgang Dietele, cap 124.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, but it's a lot of work to do today, so I'm not sure if I reach today.
Yeah.
I'd like to, if I have the strength, I don't want to sleep 40 kilometers before the finish line and not knowing where to get energy.
So you think you can push through today?
Not today, not this date of today, yeah. When it will be tomorrow in the early hours of the morning.
How are you enjoying the Basque country?
The last kilometers,
yeah.
It was wonderful, especially this last climb. And unfortunately, 10 minutes before, my smartphone was dead, so I couldn't take pictures. But yes, you don't have to look through the smartphone. You also can enjoy, and I enjoyed.
You can take a photo with your eyes.
Yes, you keep it here.
Tobias Hogard, Cat 115, is hoping to make it to San Sebastian by midnight. After 9 days of riding, hopefully his body is on board with the plan too.
I just met a man up the mountain who gave me a banana and some biscuits and tea with sugar in it. So right now I'm totally high on that. And next is that I'm going to have 3 espresso. But 6 o'clock this morning, I couldn't move my legs. Then I walked for 1 hour. And then in the middle of the forest, I had to pull out the rocket and pull out my sleeping gear. And I fell asleep before I managed to set an alarm clock. And then I slept for 2 hours. And from there, I drove 15 kilometers without any break up the hill. It's crazy. I don't understand how this body works. It's amazing. But now I need coffee. I adjusted my aim, and now it's to get to San Sebastian before midnight.
Helene Fromenty, Cap 52, remains the fastest woman in the race and is hoping to reach San Sebastian inside general classification and, ideally, in time to enjoy at least some of the finishers' party.
Are you enjoying the Basque Country?
Yeah, this one climb was pretty long and steep. It's not over yet. 20 kilometer, come on. And I'm wondering how it's going to be the last one, because I think it's gravel. I don't know if it's the whole, I thought it was 8 kilometer. I don't know if it's the whole way. Let's see. But finally getting close to the end of this parkour. Yeah, I can smell the sea a little bit. Just a little bit. I just wish I can be there until, like, during the party. Like, I don't want everyone to leave. And I don't like to arrive in the middle of the night. It's a bit annoying. But I'm not sure it's going to be possible to be there super early. So I will see.
We'll just have to make sure the party keeps going until you
exactly.
arrive.
Go to a club or do whatever, make an animation. But keep the people there, please.
I've heard that there's a karaoke machine, so maybe we can keep that party rolling.
That's awesome. And maybe I can even sing a song when I get there.
Back at the finish line in San Sebastian, and another rider rolls in to get their brevet card stamped for the final time at this year's TPR. Jonas Weisbach, Cap 65.
I think TCR is more complex as a race, like the whole planning, route planning and going, getting to the start and getting home. All this kind of stuff is a bit more complex with TCR, but I think here, like, the race is much more demanding physically, and also the planning in terms of, like, resupplies. I found it, like, so difficult. Like, you basically carry food for the whole day with you, yeah, up all these colds, because you're not really sure if the supermarket will be open, the next one that you will see. So yeah, that was really hard. And the climbing, yeah, climbing is just hard. Like, the most vivid memory, I think, was from yesterday. I slept at La Mongie, so just under the Tourmalet col, and so I started at like 3:30 to climb the last bit up to the col. I saw the llamas, what I already said, which I found so surreal, because I didn't realize it at the first place. Like, oh, there were just llamas, I think. Like, what was going on here? And then got down, and then I think it's Aubusque that follows afterwards. And so the gravel climb, all in the clouds the whole morning, like, you don't really see anything. And then I came out on the road again, going up to Aubusque, and the sun finally kind of made its way through the clouds and broke it up, and, like, just, like, weird scenery I cannot really describe. It was just... Yeah. And I knew it was kind of my last day in the race, because I wanted to push through here as long as it takes. And I set myself this plan to be very efficient on that last day. And I just found myself in the morning stopping every second minute for, like, taking pictures. Already accumulated like half an hour of stop time just by taking pictures.
There's an awful lot that goes into organising a race like TPR. And support from sponsors is an essential part of making it all happen. Rupert Hartley is one of Albion's co-founders. He's got plenty of ultra experience himself, and is at the finish line to get a first-hand view of the riders arriving back into San Sebastian.
Yeah, being able to sort of go after this niche and this space of adventure cycling, bike packing, ultra racing, if you like. We see that as the sort of real pinnacle of a really exciting part of the sport, you know, where people ride their bikes in more adventurous ways. And yeah, just getting to be here and be on the ground and meet people, ride with people, it just feels more real, you know. There's something so hard earned about anyone who's done these races knows that, you know, you've really got to earn them, and even if you do everything, it still can get taken away from you. So people end up having very emotive experiences, which, you know, are fantastic to associate with. You know, there's a realness to it, you know, the stories, the people there. It's as far away from like a polished sort of like, you know, cafe cruise fashion, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. You know, it's there's a gritty realness to it, which I think is a really special canvas for us to be associated with.
Early afternoon on day 9, and Stephen Kennedy joins the rest of the riders in San Sebastian, having just about found enough fuel to power him home.
I only found one supermarket yesterday, and then I was like, I don't have enough food to keep going. I was in that St. John Peter Paul. Yeah.
You slept there?
Well, I ended up finding a pizza vending machine. At two pizzas. and then found a public toilet. Was going to have a nap, but wake up 4 hours later.
Wow.
Slept through my alarm. I obviously had to digest those two pizzas.
like a snake.
Oh, amazing. But yeah, after my dark night, I just really loved that finished parkour.
Yeah.
Henning Zudo, Cap 54, is the next rider into the finish.
And the climbing is, for me, is the point. There's not a car distracting me or wind stopping me. It's just the hill and my knees or my legs working against it. And I have the opportunity to, I can choose if I do it or if I don't. And nothing else, nothing from the outside is making the choice for me. And that's a part of cycling, one of the part of cycling I enjoy most, because it's me against myself, against the mountain, the climb. We had many climbs to feel this and to...
Are you feeling sufficiently therapized now the race is over? Has the race therapized you?
No, but I started therapy once a week this year, and feels really good. And we talk about cycling almost every week. And I had a bad year in training, like physical training, not that much kilometers, not that many hours, but I had a really good mental preparation. So I had the crying moments on the tops in parkours, but had no doubts in between. I was like, okay, I know I can do it. I just need to figure out how and how much sleep I need, what food.
Will Ward, Cap 121, also makes his way along the Finnish parkour to complete his TBR adventure. To take on this race has required years of training and preparation. There's some things you just have to experience when the time comes.
I mean, to be honest, like, I don't think anyone can prepare you for like the raid. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone can tell you, oh yeah, it's 31 coals in 680Ks, and you're like, yeah, cool. But like,
it's just numbers.
Yeah. So then to actually ride it, I think it sounds daft, but you kind of have to ride it to contextualize it, you know, to understand what it actually means. Yeah, well, I actually sort of decided that I wanted to do this race. Do you know what? It might have even been TPR number one when I saw it, because I was like following TCR before, and then I saw TPR number one, and I was just like, that looks just out of control good. But I knew at that point I was like some way off being able to, you know, I hadn't ridden an ultra, you know what I mean? So it's like I'm some way off being able to do that sort of thing. So it's been a bit of like a multi-year project to sort of get to this point. So yeah, just mega, mega to have it done.
Evening on day 9, and the finishers party is about to get underway. This is always a special way to end the race, as it gives riders a chance to share their stories from the road, compare notes, and give each other a big pat on the back for what they've achieved. It's also an opportunity for the Lost Dot team to say a few thank yous and hand out some awards. Race director, David Eyre.
It is amazing to see so many of you here with us. Huge thanks to all of you for participating in the race, for choosing this race to be a part of your season. But I'd just like to sum up by saying another huge thank you to all of you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the party. The keg's still going, there's a little bit more food coming. I think I saw some hamburgers come out and I'm far too far away from them. But yeah, have a great night and thank you all again. Cheers.
It's the morning after the night before, and we are into the final few hours of the race. Overnight, both Wolfgang Dietere, Cap 124, and Mark Agar, Cap 69, arrived at the finish to ensure they completed the race within GC. For Hélène Fromentie, things are looking extremely tight. After an eventful race, she's been racing through the night to try and reach San Sebastian in time. Thankfully, she does make it, with less than 20 minutes to spare. It's a fantastic achievement, though it's meant some difficult real-life decisions.
I thought you said you had somewhere to be yesterday.
No. It's been a bit difficult, actually, emotionally, this last day, because I had to make a hard decision. I mean, I've been investing in this ultra thing, or at least cycling, for a long time now, and it maybe will not happen again that I do a good performance like this, and I don't... for once I wanted to be a bit selfish and just think about me, and even though it's maybe not understandable for some people who just see it as a bike race, it's a bit more for me, so... Yeah. I was thinking that that's the place I wanted to be, and... like this. But I thought about it so much, like, okay, so I'm not there on Thursdays, that's fine, I lose my train. Maybe I try on Friday, but no, doesn't work. Then I did this loop, oh no, it still doesn't work. Saturday morning, no, doesn't work. And in the end, I'm here on Sunday. I mean, life doesn't stop because you're on your bike. And sometimes you have the feeling you're in this bubble and you just have to think about eating, sleeping and riding, but actually... there is other stuff coming on and you have to deal with it anyway, so...
With Hélène safely into the finish, there are just two riders left out on the road with a chance of making the 9 a.m. cutoff, and they are a pair. If they make it, they'll be the only duo to complete the race and win the pairs category. At 8:54, with just 6 minutes left on the clock, Adrien de Glies and Gilles Hauser, caps 131 A and B, roll into San Sebastian. The whole team are there to greet them.
I was watching you from a way out from this morning, so I got up at like 5 o'clock and I looked and I was like, oh, it's going to be really tight for them. Yeah. Then I looked again a couple of hours later and I was like, whoa, okay, they're going really fast. They're in with a chance. And then like
all in from 3, I guess. And trying to take turns. At some point, we were a bit afraid we had no food anymore. So we had some we had still a bit of sugar hidden in a bag, so we could use that.
And are you still best of friends at the end of that?
Oh yeah, I think even better. I mean,
better, yeah.
Yeah.
So like every time, every adventure, it's a link. So a link more.
Yeah. And I think we had a lot of adventures in the last 9 days.
Sure. Yeah,
but I mean, like, we were so grateful for all the nice moments, like even this morning riding up the mountain here with the sunrise. Yesterday we were we slept in a small hut at Col de Soulor on top of the gravel section there. We also woke up like with the sunrise. yesterday evening we were riding the last bits of the parkour at sunset, so always perfect timing. Yeah,
and the last few days was really intense, but it's happened a lot of great things, like the sunset and the sunrise, and we don't have planned this, and it's become like this, and that was the gift. Yeah. For the pain or for the adventure.
And that's it from this fifth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race. As always, the region's cols and climbs tested all our riders to the limit and provided a familiar challenge that this time came with a gravel twist. But it's that challenge, those mountains each rider needs to move if they're to reach the end, that make it all worthwhile. That and some of the most incredible landscapes on our one precious planet. Truly, it's been a beautifully hard bike race. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can read all of Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost.org website and see all the photography from TPR number 5 across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.